Physical prime. It's unhealthy to deny myself.
We're not ready for marriage yet, but we're ready for the next step in our relationship.
Look, it's not like I'm out cruising bars or something. I'm in a committed relationship.
Come on. I'm married, not blind.
It's just sex.
Everyone I know is doing it.
What goes on behind closed doors in my own home is no one's business but my own.
It's just a joke email my buddy sent me.
It's just a video.
I'm just looking for love.
It's just sex.
The church tells us not to.
Those were rules created thousands of years ago before birth control, when life expectancy was, what, 40?
The world says it's okay.
I mean, we use protection.
You know what? It's really just between me and my boyfriend.
It's just sex.
If I'm looking for a commitment for the rest of my life, I just want to be sure that he's the one.
It's perfectly normal behavior.
Come on, it's sex. It's not a sin. I mean, it's not like we're committing murder.
God created sex, right? So what's wrong with it then? It's just sex.
It's just sex.
I'm not a virgin anymore.
He's got a divorce after 10 years of marriage.
You can't expect
that.
But we don't have sex. It's just sex.
So what's wrong with it then?
Well, a lot of the world rationalizes sex. Now, if you weren't here, 2 weeks ago, we didn't have Shoreline last week because of spring break, but if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, we started this kind of three-part series called Exposed, The Naked Truth About Sex. So if you walked in here tonight and you didn't know that that's what we were going to be talking about, that is what we're going to be talking about. We don't talk about it every week. But it's kind of this series where we realize that those messages that were in this video here, whether you know it or not, those are really what we are hearing screamed at us every day. If you're exposed to any sort of media, be it billboards on the road, songs on the radio, TV shows we watch, movies, other people we hang around at school, all these things, we're exposed to all of these messages about sex that maybe are never said in such a clear-cut way as they were on that video, but the ideas and the rationalizations about sex are exposed to us on a daily basis, almost an hourly basis, in the world that we live in today. I'm exposed to sex all the time as I encounter different types of media, and I'm constantly having to process that and run it through what the Bible has to say about sex, and that's what we're going to try to do tonight, is expose you guys to what the Bible has to say about the topic of sex. And we started that last week. We talked about what God's purpose for sex is, and we talked about five things. And this week, we're going to talk about what's gone wrong with sex. And before we get started, there are a few things I want to say. The first thing I want to say is this. For those of you that have ever heard me speak before, sometimes I like to tell stories, sometimes I try to be funny, and all these things. And if you're hoping for that or expecting that or anticipating any of that tonight, you have to forgive me up front, because I'm going to be pretty straightforward tonight, because there's a lot I want to say and I want to cover all this material. Also, I want to let you know that I think there's going to be a lot of people tonight in this room that will probably disagree with some of the things that I have to say. And if you disagree with what I say, I want you to know that I still want to be your friend. And I don't want you to feel like I'm going to look down on you or any of those things. I would love to talk to you about the things you disagree with or the questions that you have. But I'm going to try to be really clear on what I see the Bible saying about the subject of sex. And some of it might ruffle your feathers a little bit on what you think about physical relationships with people of the opposite sex. And I want to just encourage you. If I'm saying something that you disagree with or frustrates you, or if you feel like it's too hard or too, you know, whatever it is, I encourage you to see where I'm getting that information from the Bible and see if it makes sense and process it yourself with what the Bible has to say. Now, before I start, I want to pray, because I just got to tell you, with the amount of stuff that I want to go over tonight and the things that I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart, I was just sitting back there during the songs and I was pretty nervous. It's a lot to say, and I want to be really careful with how I say it and be very careful to say only the things that God wants me to communicate to you guys tonight. So if you'd bow your heads and just let me pray here real quick, and then we'll get started after that. Lord, I pray that you would calm my heart and that you would open the hearts of the other people in this room. And as we talk today about, you know, how we have taken this gift that you've given us and this thing you've created and we've messed it up, I pray that you would really make it clear what we've all been guilty of doing wrong and the temptations and the pitfalls that lay ahead of us. And I pray that you would protect me and you protect these leaders. And Lord, I pray that you protect these young students in here. I pray for the ones that have maybe already messed up in this area or been hurt by this area of their lives. I pray for them, Lord, that you would comfort them, that you would provide them for forgiveness and freedom from that struggle. And I pray for the ones that are living according to your standards and that are pure sexually right now. And I pray that you would strengthen them tonight. You would encourage them tonight. You would spur them to continue walking in your path tonight. So, Lord, would you just speak to us and share with us what you want to share this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I deal with this exposure to sex every day that we see from other people, from the media, all different forms of it, I've really kind of tried to condense down to what I believe are the four biggest lies that are being told to us. And this is really what's gone wrong with sex, so these four big lies. And I'm going to start off with the biggest one. But before I do, I want to tell you about something. Allie doesn't know I'm going to do this, but something that I have really enjoyed in bed at my house. It's Sudoku. I really enjoy playing. I really enjoy doing these Sudoku. Bron was like, I'm about to have to fire him. I really enjoy doing these Sudoku. How many people have ever done a Sudoku puzzle before? Okay? If you're not raising your hand, it's just because you're afraid of them and you're not smart enough to do it. But these things, I don't know about any of you that raise your hand, but Allie would do these Sudokus like all the time, and she would start off on the easies, and then all of a sudden I look over and she's doing these hard ones and these very hard, difficult ones. These are, they say, Chinese mastermind only, and she's just going, and she's doing them, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I decided, well, I'll try it. I picked it up, and I was like a complete moron. I mean, I was going, four, what? And I got to where my method is I have to like write every possible number in every possible square and then go through and cross. I mean, it takes me hours. And so every night we've gotten in this pattern where we get in bed before we fall asleep and we get out our Sudoku books. We're nerds. We each have our own little one on our side of the bed with our pencil with an eraser. And we're like, good night, honey. Sudoku. Huh. And Allie, you know, flips over to the back of the book to the hard ones and she's like, and I hear her pencil. And I'm over back on the easies or sometimes the mediums, and I'm like, I'm writing the little tiny numbers into every box. And like, she'll finish and be like, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. And she'll be snoozing, sawing logs, and I'm over here like halfway through it. Hours are going by. I'm like, finish this. You know, because she's going to check in the morning. She never would, but I think, what if she looks and she realizes I didn't finish? So I have to finish. And I'm flipping back to the back, hoping she doesn't hear the pages. I'm like, two, okay, that'll help. I cannot quit without finishing. At first I did, and then I was like, you can't quit. And so I keep working, and I'll ask her for advice. How do you do it? And she'll tell me, well, if there's three, there's blank. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. But I'll go, uh-huh. And she'll go, you got it? I'll go, yeah, I got it. And I'll get back on it. But the great thing about Sudokus, the reason why I love them is you can finish them. There's a very clear solution. There's only one way and one way alone that's very obvious that is the correct solution for the Sudoku. And if you got it wrong, you know you got it wrong because you got a number in the wrong place. And I tell you that because the first thing I'm going to talk about, as much as I would like for it to be, and I just wish, and when I was your age, I just went cover to cover and scoured the Bible for this clarity, this exact answer like a Sudoku, but I could never really find and pinpoint this exact, very clear answer. And so I want you to know that this first thing that we're going to talk about is a little inexact when it comes to the scripture, but I think what the Bible has to say about this first thing is very, very powerful and very compelling and very clear, but it's just not exactly pinpointed and exact the way we would like it to be. And I think God does that for a reason. It's because God wants us to trust him with his truth. And the first thing we're going to talk about, it's not on the screen, but it's kind of this question of how far is too far, okay? And if you don't know what I mean by that, I mean, you know, when a guy and a girl are going out holding hands, is that too far? Putting your arm around him, is that too far? Kissing on the cheek, is that too far? Kissing on the lips, blah, blah, blah. And there's like this progression, and you guys know it. There's first base, second base, third base, you know, shortstop, tags you out, or whatever it is. And, you know, in ground rule, double, and all those things. But I don't know what that means. But I can make up more, but I won't. But there's this question of, hey, for a Christian, what's right? What's the right thing to do? And then there's this lie out there. And this is one of the biggest lies, so we're going to hit it first. And the first lie I think that the world wants to tell us, and that maybe you might believe, is that sex is limited to going all the way. That sex is only intercourse. And I've heard people say, well, we might have messed up a little bit physically, but we didn't have sex. And when you talk to them and you ask them very direct, specific questions, it's like these two people did everything that you could do with another person that is sexual except sex. And they feel like they're still, in some way, haven't offended God's order or what God has designed us to do, and that they're still in the right somehow, and that they haven't done anything wrong or messed up. I mean, I can think of, when I was sitting back there, I just thought through guys that I know that have been in paid ministry positions that I've worked with in the past, and I thought of four that have basically done everything that you could think of to list, and things that I'm not going to say in this room tonight, but you can think of them. You know what they are? They, you know, close off the whole deal, everything but sex. Wow, they're in paid ministry positions. And somehow in their mind, it's justified as, well, at least we're not doing that. And the lie is that sex is limited to only going all the way. And I don't think the Bible teaches that at all. I want to put up two verses here. These are two we're really going to focus on. Can you click over? Yeah, Ephesians 5:3 and also Matthew 5:27-30. And in Ephesians 5:3, Paul says very clearly, he says, among you believers, he's talking to this church, Ephesus, there must not be even a hint, not even a little hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. Not even a hint. And then Jesus says in Matthew, okay, this is intense. He's talking about adultery, right, which is sex outside of marriage. And he says, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. And Jesus says, well, let me tell you what the heart behind that is. He goes, but I tell you that anyone, and this is talking about a man, any man that ever looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so what Jesus says there is even a look is this hint of sexual immorality that Paul talks about. And he says, even looking at someone lustfully, okay, guys, online, pornography, other things like that, even looking at a woman lustfully is like having sex with her, committing adultery with her. And it's seen in the same way. And so I think what the Bible is saying here, it's pretty powerful, as Jesus is going, listen, y'all are trying to put sex in this little box, but I created you, man and woman, sexual creatures, okay? You have different parts, and you're made for this union, but you take it and you make it into your own thing, and you put sex in this little box, but all of you is sexual, and even a look is part of that package, and it's all connected. And that's why Paul says there shouldn't be even a little hint of sexual immorality, because it's all connected to sex. And I want to talk to you, I want to just list some things that people would say are outside of that box, and I want to tell you that I think there's a hint of sexual immorality in these things. Let's talk about when you go to the party and a dance and there's freak dancing, okay? I don't know what you call it, freak dancing or grinding or whatever, doing the, I don't know what it is. I don't think that's really what you look like when you do it, but I don't want to act it out. But you guys know what I mean. Do I have a picture, William, of that on there? It's not that bad, but is there a picture on the thing? There isn't? Click through the slide. Click through the next view. I don't think it's on there. Maybe it's not. No? Okay. I have this picture. It's not a bad one, but it's just like a school dance like you guys would go to, and it's this guy behind this girl, and they're just kind of dancing, laughing, and having fun, and he's, you know, pressed up against her. And what I just want to go ahead and say this out loud so you guys understand, like, what that kind of dancing is it's a person taking their private part and putting it on another person, okay? With your clothes covered, yeah. But that's what it is, and it's a sexual thing, okay? It's a sexual thing, and there's a hint of sexual immorality in that. And I believe that Jesus would go, hey, it's just like committing adultery with that person in your heart. I mean, you're imitating a sexual act. Other things that I would put on this list of, hey, this is a hint of sexual immorality. You know, looking at pornography, I already mentioned. Masturbation kind of goes along with that a lot. Any level, you know, guy and a girl together undressing, or any level of touching private parts, and you know what private parts are, top and bottom. Sexual joking amongst guys, that's a big thing that guys do, is they'll say things or tell jokes or reference movies that have sexual themes and all that. And I just go, that's putting it in your head. Conversations about sexual experiences, asking, you know, a guy, I just had a friend that, you know, was having these conversations with this girl over text message saying, hey, how far have you gone? What's the most that you've done? And the girl was telling him these stories. Well, what about you? What's the most? And the guy was, and it was over text message, and they thought, oh, this is, we're not doing it in person. We're not actually doing these things, but we're talking about it. But you know what happened? It put it in those people's heads, and they ended up messing up in a big time way, really blowing it. But it started there. So talking about, you know, sexual experiences or fantasizing or thinking about them. And I'm going to add to that list, guys, passionate, long kissing is how I'm going to say it. But I want to read you this quote. This is incredible. This is this book that's at, any girls ever shop at Anthropology? Girls shop at, yeah. Allie loves this Anthropology place. So I spend like hours reading books in that store. Like, one of Allie's favorite things to do is to go to North Park and walk around, is what she says, and it's code for buy stuff. And and so we go on these dates to North Park, and we walk around, and we're like, Anthropology! And so we go in there, and obviously there's not a single thing in there that a male could purchase. And so I find one of these little couches. It's not like a normal couch. It's got swirls and extra cushions and too many pillows you have to move out of the way. And I sit on the couch, and then there's this big coffee table that's also not normal. It's oval and glass. And there's stacks of books, and I just pick up a book, and I'm like, okay, I'll read some girl book. And, you know, I start reading about how to be a better woman. But this was one that wasn't like how to achieve the best motherhood or any of that. This is the expert's guide to 100 things everyone should know how to do. And I thought, ooh, I saw that. I go, ooh, that looks cool. 100 things everyone should know how to do. And, you know, like some of the things in this book are, you know, how to house train a puppy. You should know how to do that so you don't have poo all over your house. How to give a gift. How to smile for the camera. You know, it talks about relax, think a happy thought, all this stuff. But one of the things in this book that was the expert's guide to 100 things everyone should know how to do is how to kiss. So I turn to that and I go on and make sure I'm doing a good job, making my wife happy and all these things. You know, maybe there's something I'm missing and I'm pretty good, right? Okay. Well, but I wanted you to read what, okay, and basically with this book, I'm a good kisser. Yeah? We kiss this afternoon. Well, it's just a kiss. I'm married. Okay. So what they do in this book, it's the expert's guide, is the author goes around and she gets like the expert in every field to tell her to write this thing. So the author didn't just write it like she was the expert, but she collected all these experts from every field. And there's, you know, famous actors for how to act or whatever, I don't know. But there's all this stuff. And so she got this lady named Beverly DeAngelis. And Beverly DeAngelis has hosted TV shows on CBS, CNN, PBS. She's written several books. And she's kind of like this expert on sex, okay? And so she said, hey, Barbara DeAngelis, would you write this article about how to kiss from the expert, okay? And here's what she said. This is right off the top. I want you guys to listen carefully to this. I should have put it up on the screen, but just follow along. Barbara says kissing is one of the most intimate sexual acts that you can experience. By the way, this isn't a Christian book. She's not a Christian. I went to her website. Don't recommend it. Don't remember her name because it's like dirty. Anyways, why did I say that? I just wanted you to know that Barbara is not, this isn't coming from this really uptight, stiff Christian person, okay? She says, kissing is one of the most intimate sexual acts that you can experience. When you place your mouth on the mouth of the person you love, you're sharing the very essence of life, your breath. Your partner's mouth is a doorway into his or her being. In this way, kissing imitates sexual intercourse, and the passionate kiss stands alone as an act in which both lovers are equally open to each other. Now, you'd say it that way, and you're like, whoa, hold the phone. Kissing is one of the most intimate sexual acts. But most of us, kissing is kind of like the gateway drug, okay? People say that, you know, alcohol or marijuana is a gateway drug that leads to more dangerous drugs. If you start off using those, it leads to things that can really destroy your life and get you addicted and kill you and things like that. And I would say kissing, when it comes to physical relationships, is like the gateway drug that everyone pretty much your age thinks, oh, the kissing is acceptable. But what you do is you get in there, and what starts off as a little kiss or a peck or a short kiss turns into this really long makeout session type deal. And then from there it progresses. And what you don't know is what Barbara knows, And what God knows is that kissing is one of the most intimate sexual acts between a man and a woman, but we treat it just like nothing. Oh, it's just a single. It's just first base. No big deal. But you're on the field now, and you're tempted to kind of run to the next way. And so this first point where I think the lie is that sex is limited to go all the way, I want you to know that it's all connected. It's all connected. All this stuff that I listed and more, things that I don't want to get down into detail with, but, you know, I've seen too many people start off with these things that we go, that's not really sexual. It's just, you know, it's just a kiss or it's just this. And it leads these, you know, four guys I mentioned earlier in paid ministry that ended up really making some big mistakes because they started off on these things that they didn't think were that connected. But it's all connected. All right, let's go to lie number two. Lie number two is people would want to say that, you know, first one, sex is limited to going all the way. Number two is that sex can serve my personal purposes. Now, just as a review of last week, kick up there God's purposes. Last week, we talked about God's purposes for sex. Number one, sex is meant for marriage. Number two, sex is meant for a man and a woman, not a man and a man or a woman and a woman. Sex is meant for intimacy. Sex is meant for reproduction, and sex is meant for teaching about the church and Jesus. Now, if you missed that message, you can we'll put it up online. I think we have that. But you can kind of hear more about those five things. But here are very clear lies that I think the world feeds us when it talks about the purpose of sex. Look at these six things. Sex is meant for recreation or fun. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but there's kind of this thing. Does anybody, it's nothing to be proud of, but I watch The Office. Does anybody else watch The Office? Okay, here's how Ryan says it about Kelly. Okay, it's about a year ago, and Ryan looks at the camera, he's pulling up his hair, and he goes, I hooked up with her on the night before Valentine's Day. And so he's all frustrated that he's started dating this girl right before Valentine's Day starts. And I don't know if you know this or not, but here's a, you know, an eye-opener. When someone says hooked up on TV or in the movies, that means we had sex. We hooked up, you know, that one time. And there's this kind of pattern going on around us in the world where people are hooking up, and it's kind of this one-time sexual encounter, first date type deal. Maybe a one-night stand, maybe something where the hookups last a little longer. But it's kind of this thing where there's like friends with benefits where you're just friends, but you're hooking up and you're, you know, fooling around sexually. And this is something that's really rampant in our world today. And it has nowhere close to God's purpose for sex. And yet, some people will tell you that, hey, it's just for fun. It's just sex. It's just recreation. It's not that big of a deal. You're making way too much of a deal about it. And that is just a lie that's nowhere close to what God's purposes are. Sex is meant, number two, you know, to be a step in a relationship. You heard that on that video earlier. It's the next natural progression, and you'll see that in movies and all the time. I think the world wants us to think that sex is meant to represent rebellion against authority. Number four, sex is meant to prove maturity. Hey, you're not really a man until you've done X, Y, and Z at least. And I know guys, you know, in my small group that have been made fun of because they don't want to do certain things. Like a guy will say, hey, would you want to do this with her? And they're like, no, I don't. And it's almost like their manhood is in question because they don't want to have sex with somebody. And so the world wants you to believe that sex is a way to prove your maturity, that sex is meant to just fulfill your instincts or natural instincts. So you've just got to do it. It's what we need to do as people, the way we're created. And the world wants you to think that sex is meant just to help a person feel loved. And let's just look at these again. And I just want to tell you there are plenty of other things to do for fun and recreation besides doing that. There's a lot of ways to progress and take steps in a relationship. If you watched the video last week, you can build a friendship with someone. You can build commitment between another person. But you don't need to engage in sex because God said that's meant for marriage. You know, sex is meant to represent rebellion against authority. I think this is the funniest one on the list because a majority of people out there are having sex outside of marriage. And so what are you rebelling? To me, it's more of a conformist act than it is a rebelling act. I think you're more of a rebel if you choose not to have sex or you choose not to passionately kiss or you choose not to do blah, blah, blah. You choose not to dance like that at the dance. You're more of a rebel if you do that. So that one is a little bit kind of losing its steam. Sex is meant to prove maturity. How about we prove maturity by our integrity, our honesty? We prove our maturity, you know, by our character. We prove, how about we prove our maturity by the way we serve other people? by the way we sacrifice. That's maturity. That's what, guys, that's what it means to be a man. It's to love other people through sacrifice and through integrity and honesty, through serving others, not just by going out and using somebody for your own pleasure. You know, let me tell you about this number five. You know, people will say, well, it's only natural. Let me just tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are not limited to the natural way to live, because you have the Spirit of the living God living inside of you, and you are not made only natural. You have supernatural power living in you. So the lusts and the desires and the instincts of our flesh, we are not slaves to like the rest of the world is, because we have a supernatural power living inside of us, enabling us to live another way. So don't fall victim to the prey that because it is your natural instinct and lust and desire, you must fulfill it. And I'm not just talking about having sex with another person, guys. I'm talking about pornography. I'm talking about these makeout sessions. I'm talking about all this other stuff. And sex is meant to help a person feel loved. Let's just talk about that a little bit more, because I put this one in its own category. Okay, the first lie was that sex is limited to going all the way. The second lie is that sex can serve my own purposes. And I think the third one is that sex, you know, can lead to love. The third lie, go ahead and click to the next one, is that sex, there we go, leads to love. Let me just tell you, there are going to be guys, girls, that will, you'll be in a situation with them, you'll be alone with them, you'll be, I hope you won't be, but you'll be in the situation and it will start to get hot and heavy, and a guy will start to go someplace that you don't want them to go. Their hands will start to wander, they'll start to try things, and you're going to stop them. And they're going to go, don't you care about me? Don't you love, don't you want to feel this love that we have? Don't you want to, don't you love me? I want to show you that I love you. And sex becomes this thing where it's connected to love and it's equated to love. And I will tell you, it is connected to love. We saw the video last week. If you missed it, you can maybe listen to it, or I can tell you how to get to it online. But it talked about how there's really three parts to love, how there's this friendship part, this commitment part, and there's this physical part. And it's only one part of it. And look at what 1 Corinthians 13 has to say about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love doesn't boast. It's not proud. You know, it's not rude. It doesn't seek itself. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. And it always, look at that word always, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and it never fails. And what I'm holding in my hand, what I wear on my left ring finger, is a symbol of always. And until that symbol is there, this physical sort of love, you shouldn't be diving into it. Love always protects. So if a guy says, well, don't you love me? Say, I don't know. Do you love me? Because love is patient, and you're not being very patient right now. And love always protects. And if you want to always protect me, and if you want to always hope and persevere with me, then give me a ring, and let's get married, and let's do it. But until then, you're not loving me, and I'm not going to pretend like I love you, because that's not what love is. So don't let love be shrunk down and minimized. That's a big lie, is that people think that sex leads to love. People get lonely. They feel unloved. They feel hurt. And what they do is they go out and they get in these dating relationships and they try so hard to feel love in these physical relationships. And if any of you have been there, you know how empty it is in the end. Sex does not fulfill your desire for love. I'll say it again. Sex does not fulfill your desire to be loved. It doesn't. It's a lie. And finally, the fourth lie I think the world really tells us is that sex can be safe. You've all heard about safe sex. And I'm not going to go into this thing about the percentage of chance you have of getting pregnant if you use a condom, or how you can still get STDs and blah, 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 and all this stuff. I think you've probably heard about that in a lot of your little classes at your school or seminars. And if you want to know more about STDs or condoms, you know, come talk to me. I'll tell you everything I know about them, which would be really an awkward conversation, but... Let's put it out there, okay? But, you know, in that way, hey, sex isn't always safe. Just FYI, okay? I think you know that. I mean, there's a lot of junk out there. But what I want to talk to you about is what I really care about. I care about your health. I care about your hearts even more. As you go, every time you kiss a person, every time you fool around with a person, every time you have sex with a person, you connect yourself to them in an intimate way, and you're connected. And when that connection is broken, which, by the way, any relationship that doesn't connect in a marital way that is meant for forever will be broken eventually. Every time you connect with a person, when you break apart, a piece of you goes with them, and your heart is broken a little bit at a time, every person you interact with in that way. And I just want you to know that sex is never safe for your heart. It's never safe for your heart outside of marriage. And the world wants you to believe that sex can be safe. Just make sure it's safe. Yeah, it's you guys hear that all the time. I just go, you know, it's never safe. And none of these sexual things, sex isn't limited to going all the way, remember. And it can't serve your personal purposes, and it doesn't lead to love. And it's never safe. Look at this last verse. Memorize this one. Proverbs 4:23, some of you probably do, but it's real simple. It just says, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. I just want to plead with you guys to be really careful when it comes to sexual stuff, to guard your heart, because it is the wellspring. It's where all your life comes, and it will affect every other part of your life if your heart is broken in that way. And so just to conclude tonight, I just want to put all that out there in the universe for you guys to take and listen to. I want you to check out these verses in Proverbs and in Corinthians and in Ephesians and in Matthew and look at them for yourself and process through. I want you guys to ask the real hard question for me: how far is too far? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. But finally, before we close, I just want to acknowledge that some people in this room haven't guarded their hearts. And I'm going to begin calling you out by, no, I'm not going to do that. What if I like did all this research and I like knew how far everyone had gone with someone else, and I was like, you have done this on this date, and you're like, what? That would stink. But you, that would be the worst night of everyone's life. But you know what you've done. Guys, you know the shame of sneaking to your family's computer at an hour when no one else was at home and trying to cover up what you looked at and what you did in that time. Girls, you know the shame of letting a guy, some of you, not all of you, you know, touch you in a way that you didn't want to be touched and didn't make you feel loved. You all, you might know the disappointment of giving yourself to a person in a physical way and then having that relationship break apart to a breakup that hurt your feelings and hurt your heart and still may be hurting you now. And you guys know this message, you people that feel that more than anybody, and you know the lies. And I just want to plead with you, don't buy them anymore. And I also want to give you hope. I want to let you know that I've bought pretty much every one of these lies at some point in my life. And I've suffered for it, but God has restored me, God has healed me, God has forgiven me. And God has given me great hope. He's given me strength and power to face the temptation that I still face and to walk with integrity. And to walk with integrity in a way where I'm not alone, where I've got, you know, other guys that I talk to about my temptations and my struggles and hold me accountable and then encourage me and ask me questions and spur me on. And we all need that in our lives. We really do, guys and girls. Now, I just want to encourage you, if you've been hurt, if you've bought some of these lies and you're struggling with that shame, guilt, fear, going back to the same pattern that you've been in before, just tell one person and be ready to tell more, but start with one. And just tell them and say, I need your help and I need God's help. And turn to God. Look up his word. Pray to him. Give your life to him. Share it with others. Let him bear your burdens with you. There's great hope out there. Hope you guys don't buy these lies. Let me pray. Lord, it just makes me sick to talk about these things because I know how real they are in some people's lives and how some people, it just seems like a fairy tale right now. It's not something they're dealing with or they're engaged in. And it really makes me scared at how real the threat is out there to take people down when it comes to sexual sin. And I want to pray for all the people that feel like they've been taken down by sexual sin, and you will re-energize them. You will renew them. You will refresh them. I pray that they will read Psalm 51, David's prayer to you after he failed as an adulterer with Bathsheba, and they will see the way that they should approach you with humility and asking for forgiveness and confessing their sins. And I pray for the people that are not at a place where they're broken and bruised and hurt, that are far away from this temptation right now, and I pray that you would make level their path and make straight their path, and that you would give them support and encouragement, and they would make up their mind, their standards right now, and you'd guide them in a way that leads to life. Lord, I thank you for your word and the clarity that it brings to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I think we have a couple of announcements. Ron, you want to get some announcements? Good. Do you want to just talk into my cheek? Okay. Awkward moment number 7.
Let me just say this. I was sitting out there tonight and just thinking, David loved you guys really well tonight by telling you what he did. You give him a round of applause. I'm serious. You know, it is not an easy conversation or an easy talk to give to talk about sex. It just isn't. And I can tell by the response of some of the things with people, it makes us laugh, makes us uncomfortable. But I just want you to know tonight that you heard a lot of great truth. And you have a choice whether to listen to that truth and spare yourself a ton of pain. That's what I'd tell you. And girls, man, as he was sharing that tonight, I just think about you guys and I go, I love the verse, guard your heart. Don't let some joker tell you he loves you when he's not. My favorite part of 1 Corinthians 13 there is that love does not seek its own. And I'm going to tell you, if a guy wants to take you physically where you don't want to go, he is seeking his own, and he's not loving you. And guys, you need to know that, that you're not loving a girl. You're not guarding her heart yourself. You're not treating her like you're supposed to treat her. And girls, I'd tell you, don't settle for less. That's what I'd tell you. And so I was just so encouraged tonight that you got to hear it really clearly. And he did a great job of exposing so many lies. And the reason we laugh at those lies is because we've bought into them as trivial, or that we've kind of bought into sex as a very, it's not no big deal kind of thing. That shows where our hearts are. And boy, we need to go before the Lord and just, boy, if you have, like you said, just go, Lord, and say, Lord, this is where I've blown it, and this is where he knows anyway. And that the best thing he told you at the end is that there's hope for you. There's hope for renewal. There's hope for you to start today in a new way. And that's guys and girls. So I was really, really encouraged tonight by what David shared with you. And we wish, I'll tell you, as guys in ministry have been doing this a long time, our wish is that we could just go, if you get the information, you'll get it. But it'll be a deal of where the Lord will either spur your heart and you'll understand, you will submit to where the Lord wants you to go, or you won't, and you'll learn the hard way. That's the way it is. Well, let me tell you about a couple things coming up. Easter Sunday, that night, we are going to have...